There used to be some words that I didn't like. See, my mother was saved. My brother, my three sisters, all before me. It used to really annoy me. Had me real mad with all this saved talk. All this born-again stuff. And I could think of every possible excuse in the room to change this subject. And I even studied the Bible hard so I could argue with them good about how wrong they were. Because I'd been in churches on Sunday mornings all my life. I've been singing in a choir since I was 7 years old, and I directed adult choirs and children's choirs in 5 different states of the Union, and I was as good a Sunday morning Christian as you could find. And I didn't like all this Jesus talk during the week. My sister used to get me very mad. I never got through high school as a kid. We were very poor, and I had 2 gods. Money and position. Mel Jass was going to make a lot of dough, and he was going to be respected. And here's something, another part of the miracle I'll still never understand. Even the sinful way I conducted my life, the Lord blessed me. He gave me one job after another. He gave me a good income, much better than I deserved. He gave me good position in my industry. And all of a sudden, I'm buying places at the lake up there in Minnesota and everything under the sun, 2-3 automobiles, boats, everything I wanted. And the more I got, the unhappier I got until this last year, gentlemen. I was miserable. I ended up in a hotel room in October, ready to jump out of a window. And now, I'm going to tell you something that the Lord reminds me of every day. My precious Lord Jesus. My wife was unsaved until 3 weeks before I was. And if you ever get to the point where you minimize your own witnesses, remember Mel. My mind was opened to the scriptures by my poor wife having to come to me, who, as I said, accepted the Lord 3 weeks before I did. She had to come to me and witness because I forced her to. I was drunk. I forced her to witness in front of me for 4 hours one night. Held her ground. And I know today that this is how the Lord won me. My wife, her lips to my ear testify of her newfound love. Gentlemen, I found myself alone. My last tie to my world was gone. My mother, my sisters, my brother, and now my wife. I was alone. I had my money, my bank book, my 3 boats, my 3 automobiles. I had my position. I belonged to my club. I had everything I wanted. You should have been with me when I poured that booze down the sink. I had a bar like you never saw. Maybe you have. But I poured it. My wife and I. Every drop of it. I had my whiskey. I had all these things I thought I wanted. Fellas. They're all gone so fast and so completely. You know, I used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I thought if I could ever quit smoking, That'd be the biggest accomplishment Mel Gaskin made. I really did. And I know a lot of guys today in my business that got the same feeling. Oh, if they could just get rid of the desire for women and booze and cigarettes, why, boy, that'd make a man of. And you know, I believe that firmly. I was 40 years old. That's what I had in my mind. Big shot Mel. Well, the only thing I needed to make me perfect was to get rid of the cigarettes and the booze, but I couldn't do it. So the next morning, after I was saved, oh, my wife and I, you can imagine, we were delirious. She's, what are you going to do about the drinking and the smoking and all the rest of it? I said, I prayed about it last night. And I just said, Lord, what will I do about it? And he told me right then, it wasn't the booze and the cigarettes that was sending me to hell. It was the reason I was going to hell that I was smoking and drinking. And I'd had it backward all the time. And I said, well, what will I do with them now? I said, even the doctors say, you know, if you smoke 2-3 packs of cigarettes a day, a couple of cigars, drink 7 days a week, it's like a narcotic, you know. It's too hard on the human system, you know. You just can't cut it out. Too hard. You know, you got to taper it off. Why, some men even have to go to homes and sanitariums, spend a lot of money. You just can't. And the Lord just as much as smiled at me. And I got to him. He took the desire, and I've never desired a cigarette or a drink since. Not once. Now I know what a little thing it was. It wasn't important at all. What was important was that I had never really accepted the precious Lord Jesus as my Savior. I'd never realized that I can never shed enough tears to make up for those he shed for me on that cross. He died for me. So the old saying, life begins at 40. Well, I was 40 years old, and now I'm alive. I thought maybe I was kind of a little old. You know, can't go to college or nothing when you're 40 years old. And so everybody else has been a Christian so much longer than I am. George Wilson, God love him over here. You just don't know how lucky a Christian I've been. The people that have held me up, helped me. I found this in my house. My mother had given me this 6 years ago in the testing. Never been without it. I thought I was too old, you know? So I opened my little testament one day. Incidentally, this happens to be... Oh, I could talk to you fellas all day. I suppose I better quit here pretty quick. But I got too much to tell you. But I just opened my book. Oh, I was the guy, too, that was never going to mark. I couldn't see any reason to mark up a nice Bible, you know? You ought to see this. Here it is right here in Acts 4. See, I thought I was too old. Pick it up and it says, for the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. There it is, black and white. Can you imagine that God had this written for me? He even knew how old I was. And I thought, gee, I'm going to need a lot of help. Will I get to help me? Service help you. And I looked down and read, whilst thou stretchest out thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of thy
holy servant, Jesus, serving me. Oh, and then I found all the other wonderful passages. I'll never learn all this stuff. And he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to teach you all things. I said, well, I can't go back to any of my old friends. He says, look, I'll send you the counselor to be with you forever, be with you and in you. Oh, I'm just full. I had some problems. I heard Billy Graham was going to be in Minneapolis. Incidentally, I feel a little embarrassed, fellow, not having a southern accent. You guys will excuse me. I was saying a few little prayers this morning, and I said, the Lord, maybe I've heard so much southern accents, I ought to start talking to these men by saying you all today. See, incidentally, I needed a pair of black shoes, so I got this man out of bed this morning. Ernest P. Hopkins, the manager of the local Jarman store. Where's Waxy? See here? I did. There they are. Paid for, too. Brand new. And, Mr. Jarman, Ernest Hopkins would like you to call, please. You give him a ring. Well, Billy said last night. Anyway, I went to see Billy and when he was in Minneapolis. You know that man gave me of his time, as busy as he is. And I'm the littlest Christian in every group I get in, so I can learn the most. And I had a lot of problems. Oh, I tell you. When a guy in radio and television gets saved, boy, they come a-running. God love them. I had one fellow say to me, oh, he said, if you'd give me an hour and a half of your time, I'd make the best free mission church member out of you. Another guy come up and he said, you give me an hour and I'd make the best Baptist out of you. Another fellow said, I'd make the best Methodist out of you. Oh, they've been really coming to see me, and I love every one of them. That was the fun part of it. I did have some problems. I went to Billy. I said, Billy, there's just an awful lot of things that I got to talk to you about. And I went through one problem and another. Every time he taught me this little song, and then every time I'd bring up another problem, he'd say, well, come on, let's sing our little song. I was getting into a lot of doctrinal things and a lot of interpretive things, and I'd hear this sermon, and this would get me confused with that sermon. And so he taught me this little song, and I'd like to conclude my remarks with it, gentlemen, and tell you how proud I am to be here to have this God-given opportunity to tell you what the Lord means to me. The words that I really dislike, I say them now wherever I go. I'm saved. I'm born again. Let's sing just this little four lines, and you'll excuse me, Mr. Cliff Farrell, right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's my theme song. Turn your